Well, we're going to have two readings from the Bible now. So if you'd like to grab one of these blue Bibles near where you're sitting, or if you've brought one with you, do fish that out. And in a moment, Moira's going to come and read to us from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. But I just want to point us to one verse. So if you'd like to turn up Daniel chapter 7, this is our first reading on page 892. If you're with us before the summer, you'll know that we went through the first part of the book of Daniel with famous stories like Daniel in the lion's den, things like that. We're about to start on the second half of the book of Daniel, and the second half of the book of Daniel gets a bit weird. And so what Moira's about to read is kind of a bit strange and dreamlike, but to help us understand what it means before Moira reads it, just have a look down at verse 17. Page 890, little number 17, because it helps us understand what we're about to read. We're about to read about four frightening monsters that come out of the sea. And we'll read it and we'll think, well, what the heck does that mean? But if you look down at verse 17, it says, "The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth." It's picture language for four scary, wicked human kingdoms. So bear that in mind. And I'm going to hand over to Moira to read it for us. Thanks, Moira.
So Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven, churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back, it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them. And 3 of the 1st horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. The beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head, and about the other horn that came up, before which 3 of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. If you can now turn on in your Bibles towards the end, page 1201, to find the book of Hebrews, page 1201. And we're going to read the first 4 verses of the first chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, where we're reminded that the Son is superior to angels. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has, as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Moira, for reading that for us. And I wonder if you could flick back to the first passage that we had, if you'd like to follow along, Daniel chapter 7, page 892. And let me lead us in a prayer before we look at this chapter together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that through the Holy Spirit, you'd help us now to understand these words, and more than that, to feel them. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start thinking today about when governments are frightening. And I imagine you've seen on the news over the past days footage of what's happening in Afghanistan, and perhaps you felt frightened for the people who are living there. The USA withdrew quickly from Afghanistan, and the Taliban then moved in far more quickly than anyone had imagined, and they swept through the country, and they took over. And it's been terrifying for people there who worked with the United States. And there was panic at the airports, and governments worked very hard to fly people out, as many of them as possible. And then, of course, there was that terrible suicide bomb, and many people were killed. And now the Taliban is in charge, and the country has changed overnight. The news has said that women are now afraid to go out at night. Parks that had been very busy are now deserted. Hairdressers are now only cutting people's hair in the way that the Taliban says is okay. And in the markets, there are armed fighters patrolling. And it's a reminder that at certain times and in certain places around the world, governments are very frightening. Now, government is a good thing, a good gift from God, and our own government here in this country is better than most in the world, and we can give thanks to God for that. But even our own government here isn't without its dark side, and we've been reminded of that over the past year, as we've been reminded of the history that our country has with slavery and with racism. And we long for a perfect government. We long for a perfect ruler. And wonderfully, God's word shows us that today in Daniel 7. We're going back to the book of Daniel. Daniel was a believer in God. And he and his friends were taken far away from their home in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was defeated by the superpower of the day, Babylon. And Daniel and his friends were taken far away from their real home into exile in Babylon. This was about 500 years before Jesus. And the Bible says that Christians today live in exile. We live here in this dangerous world, far away from our real home in heaven. And through the book of Daniel, God shows his people how to live for him in exile. The book of Daniel has two halves, if you look up on screen. The first half, chapters 1 to 6, we did before the summer, and that's all about stories about Daniel and his life. But the second half, which we're about to start now, is about visions, dreams given to Daniel. The second half of the book is strange and dreamlike, full of weird pictures and images. And they're chapters of the Bible that we're not just to understand, we're to feel them. We're to feel frightened. We're to feel comforted as we look at this part of the Bible. And so in chapter 7 this morning, we're going to see the frightening kingdoms of this world, and then we're going to see the kingdom of God. So let's look at those in turn. Firstly then, the kingdoms of the world. And please have a look down with me at verse 1 of Daniel chapter 7, page 890. It says, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the dream." Now, chapter 7 takes us about 10 years back in time, before chapter 6, which was Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel is still an old man at this stage. He's about 70 or so. And God gives him this disturbing dream. Verse 2, Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea." So you've got to use your imagination. Imagine the winds blowing and the waves crashing and churning. And then you've got to imagine these gruesome animals climbing up out of the sea. Now remember that we're told later that these beasts stand for human kingdoms. This is picture language for human kingdoms. And it's deliberately scary because they're wicked human kingdoms. A few weeks ago, my family and I were on holiday and we were by the seaside. But if this had happened, we'd be running for the car. This is a terrifying scene. Look at the first beast in verse 4. It says, "The first was like a lion and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man and the heart of a man was given to it." Now, it seems that this first beast stands for the Empire of Babylon. It's fierce like a lion, and it was fast like an eagle. You might remember from earlier in the book, King Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of Babylon. And you might remember he had been very proud, and then God had humbled him. And it seems as though he became a believer in God, and that he changed his kingdom. And that's why the first beast here becomes more like a human being. Sin makes us like animals, but turning to God makes us more human. And if we're followers of Jesus here this morning, we know that, don't we? We all have sins in our past, drunkenness, lying, gossip, sleeping around. And sin makes us less human, doesn't it? But then we come to Jesus and he forgives us and he changes us. And it's wonderful. He makes us more human. Jesus makes us truly human. And if you haven't yet come to him, you should. Well, then the next two gruesome beasts come out of the sea. Or next three, I should say. Number two is like a bear with ribs in its teeth. And number three is like a leopard with four wings and four heads. And number four is even worse. And we'll think about that in a moment. Now, we've seen four kingdoms before. In Daniel chapter 2, we saw four real kingdoms in history that would come one after the other until Jesus' first coming. But here in chapter 7, it becomes more dreamlike. And we see one kingdom after another coming and coming all the way through history until Jesus' second coming until the end of history and Judgment Day. And it seems that just before Judgment Day, there will be a terrible human government. Just look at the terrifying fourth beast in verse 7. Daniel says, "After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying, frightening, and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. And then very weirdly, a little horn grows up in Daniel's dream. In the middle of verse 8, it had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Now, this is a very weird, dreamlike moment. And it means a powerful leader rebelling against God. An angel later explains to Daniel, middle of verse 23, the fourth beast will be different from all the other kingdoms, and it will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. And one terrible ruler will come from that kingdom. And verse 25, he will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints, oppress God's people. Daniel is seeing the future. God is showing Daniel, like it says up on screen, the kingdoms of the world. And Daniel sees them as horrible mutants. They're human kingdoms, frightening and cruel. And they'll keep coming again and again through history up until the final day. And it seems that just before the final day, there will be a particularly scary government. This little horn seems to stand for the Antichrist. The Antichrist, a particularly evil government that will persecute the church very badly. If you look at the screen, you'll see that the New Testament says this: you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. God is showing us the truth about the kingdoms of the world. Now, my family and I went to London Zoo over the summer, and it was brilliant. I don't know if you've ever been to a big zoo, but we saw some amazing different animals. We saw gorillas sort of beating their chests, and we saw giraffes and zebras up close, and we saw a giant tortoise sort of slowly climbing out of a pond covered in pond algae, which was brilliant. And we saw some very fierce animals as well. We saw a lion, and we saw a tiger with great big teeth and great big claws. It was a great day out. But of course, none of those animals are as scary as these beasts that Daniel sees in this dream. God is showing Daniel that all through human history, right up until the Day of Judgment, at different times and in different places, there will be wicked, frightening human governments. There's a civil war in Ethiopia at the moment, and there's more and more evidence that the Ethiopian army is using rape as a weapon. So the Ethiopian soldiers are deliberately raping women and girls in order to make them terrified and in order to win the war. Isn't that horrible? It's a beast-like government. North Korea is the hardest place in the world to be a Christian. It's as close to hell on earth as you can get to be a Christian. There's a minister in London that I admire called Richard Kokin, and Richard Kokin has written about speaking with a Christian in his church who is from North Korea. And this Christian told him about reports of persecution of the church in that country that are just mind-numbing. They told the story of Christian ministers being laid down in a line on the ground, and with their families watching, Their heads were crushed with a steamroller. It's almost unimaginable, isn't it? It's like something out of a horror film. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, beast-like governments come and go around the world. Now, most of the time, of course, government is a good thing. But at times through history, they can become very evil. We're blessed here in the UK with a government that is relatively human. It's a good place to live. And that, of course, is because the Christian gospel has had a huge influence in this country over centuries. Sadly, our country is drifting from the gospel, and as a result, the government might become a bit more beast-like in the future. It might become very hard to be a Christian in the UK in the future. And one day, it'll be very hard for Christians all around the world. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, says the Apostle John, and many of God's people will be chewed up and will be stamped on during that time. And as frightening as that sounds, God wants us to know it because he wants us to be ready. But God also wants us to know the good news. So let's hurry on and look at the other part of Daniel chapter 7. We've seen the frightening kingdoms of the world, but now we see the kingdom of God. And we pick up the story in verse 9. So the little horn is boasting proudly, this dangerous Antichrist leader. But have a look down at verse 9. As I looked, Daniel said, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seats. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. So this is God, the judge, and his white hair and his white clothes speak of him being pure and righteous and very, very wise. All the human leaders so far in this chapter have been pictured as beasts. But here, God is the most human person in the whole chapter. And his throne is flaming with fire. He has absolute power. This is the real ruler. All human rulers rule for a little bit, for a little while. But God, the true ruler, rules over everything forever. Thousands upon thousands of angels serve him, millions more stand before him, and books are opened. This is God's perfect record of every person's thoughts and words and actions. God is about to judge the little horn, and his judgment will be perfect and fair. Verse 11, Daniel says, then I continued to watch because of the boastful words that the horn was speaking. And at this point, it becomes a little bit like a pantomime. It becomes a little bit like a comedy because the little horn is sort of there chattering away. And the little horn doesn't notice that God is behind him. And you can imagine the little horn's voice seeming sort of squeakier and squeakier as sort of this great court is set up behind him. You can imagine the little horn saying, there's no one like me. You worship me. All Bibles must be burned. Forget your God. There's no God. Worship me. And it makes us want to shout out and warn the little horn. He's behind you. But the little horn, the Antichrist, is so proud, he can't see. And middle of verse 11, I kept looking until the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. So there's no fight. There's no struggle. There's just judgments from God. The kingdoms of the world seem scary, but it's the kingdom of God that rules. And the dream carries on. And what we see next is one of the greatest pictures of Jesus in the Bible. Remember, this was written more than 500 years before he was born. These are some of the most famous words in the Old Testament. These words could be printed in gold. Look down at verse 13. Daniel says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence." Now, in the Bible, coming with clouds is something that God does. And here we see a man coming with clouds. This is a God-man. And of course, it's Jesus. It's God the Son who would later become a human being. In verse 14, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. On the final day, judgment will come. All wicked human governments will be judged, and God will bring in his everlasting kingdom, and he will set his king, Jesus, over the new creation. When Jesus was being tried before he was killed, the leaders asked him if he was the Messiah. And Jesus pointed to the final day, and he said these words up on screen. "I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, and coming on the clouds of heaven." When we look at the kingdoms of the world, they can seem scary. But we should raise our eyes again today to the kingdom of God and be reminded that it is immense and powerful, and God's kingdom will have the victory. Back in June, a number of world leaders met in Cornwall. You might remember it from the news. And the most powerful leader who was there was Joe Biden, the President of the United States. And he was flown over from the USA to Britain on his special airplane for the President, Air Force One. And then he was driven to Cornwall for the conference in his huge, heavy, armored limousine. There were 400 Secret Service agents guarding him. There was also a commando counter-assault team guarding him. And all around the coast of Cornwall, the area where they were meeting, they created what they called a ring of steel, which is a number of battleships with fighter jets to protect him and to protect the other world leaders who were meeting there. Now, when you hear all of that, it sounds impressive, doesn't it? But compared to the power of God here, it's just like children playing in a crash. The Ancient of Days throne was flaming with fire. Thousands upon thousands attended him, and all peoples, nations, and men of every language worship the Son of Man. The kingdom of God will have the victory. On Wednesday evening, it's our prayer meeting. We prayed for the persecuted church in Afghanistan, and we'll keep praying for the persecuted church around the world. Our brothers and sisters in different places at different times are being chewed up and trampled upon by the beast, and we need to pray for them that they would stand firm. Perhaps when you watch the news, you feel very troubled by terrible stories that we see about frightening governments around the world. Well, if you're a believer in Jesus, you can take heart, because one day God will put it right. Be comforted by that this morning. God's kingdom will win. It might be that it becomes harder to be a Christian in this country in the future. And one day, the Antichrist will come, and it will be very hard for all Christians all around the world. And that's a scary thought. In the very final verse of this chapter, Daniel is left feeling deeply troubled, and he's pale because of what God has revealed. But God's kingdom will win. And we're to hold firmly to the good news about Jesus. So as we finish, let me ask you, will you stay faithful to God this week? Will you stay faithful to him? Will you stay faithful if someone looks down on you for being a Christian this week? Will you stay faithful if you're tempted to sin this week? Will you stay faithful to him? The Son of Man died for sins, and he rose again. And if we've turned to him and trusted in him, we are in his kingdom. And we're going to remember that now as we take communion. And we believe that one day we will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Let me lead us in a prayer. Lord God, help us not to be overwhelmed as we think about difficulties around the world or difficulties that might come in the future, but help us instead to fix our eyes on your kingdom and to know that one day your Son will come in victory. We pray it in his name. Amen.